Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Voice of Reason Radio with your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, coming to you once again, this time for the second week in a row for the year of 2017, although a slightly one day late thanks to AT&T and its data cap. I had to tell poor Rich that, can we record tomorrow? I'm all out of data. So, Rich, I apologize, but, as we've always said, AT&T, our unofficial gremlin and all-around stopgap to keep us from recording, and yet our mutual internet provider, if that's the term we can use. How are you doing this week, brother?
Oh, brother, better than I deserve, and I just was trying not to laugh out loud when you were talking about AT&T because, really, AT&T and all these internet providers now that have these caps on how much data or how many gigs per month you're allowed, they're almost like drug dealers. They've got you addicted to the internet, and now that they've got you addicted where you have to have it and you have to have it to use for so many different things in your daily life now, they just can charge whatever you want and just start gouging you because they know that you're gonna it's kind of like gasoline. They know you're gonna pay whatever they want to charge for it because you got to have it.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny because we used to kind of be able to communicate and do research and study things and listen to stuff without the internet. And those of us that lived through the 70s and 80s would remember those days. Yet our kids growing up in this generation wouldn't have a clue. Could you imagine giving someone from this generation dial-up AOL? when you clicked on just downloading a picture and it took 10 minutes.
Take that to an even further extreme. Hand some 18 or 19 year old today, hand them a map and tell them to find their way home.
I think they did that on I think it was Mythbusters, because they were doing a comparison of men and women drivers, and they gave them maps. And to look at the poor people who were behind the wheel of that car, the poor millennials behind the wheel of that car, I never saw. It was like a monkey being given the keys to a nuclear weapon. They had no idea what they were doing. Wait, which way am I going? How did I end up at the water treatment plant? when I was in the Army, that was the one thing I always thought, it was so great. We had these GPS systems. We had these laser range finders. We had all this stuff. And I thought, one good EMP and you're done. So you guys better know how to do land navigation and know how to get from point A to point B with a compass, because you're in huge trouble if you rely on that too much. And here we are today. We got people that probably can't find their way around the city without their built-in GPS in their cars.
Well, luckily, growing up in the country, even the millennials today, they could probably navigate without a GPS since most of our dirt roads and back roads probably don't even show up on a satellite, much less anything else. They're still used to knowing, that old oak tree that's blowed down halfway in the road, just go around that and go about a quarter of a mile and hang a right on the next dirt road. But you have to look for it close because it's kind of growed up. That's the kind of directions in the South that you grow up in. That's how you learn how to find your way around. But before we get too far along, I did want to ask you, speaking of internet, how have you enjoyed your social media sabbatical this week?
It's funny. I've discovered that my Galaxy S5 cell phone has an incredibly long battery life when you're not checking Facebook and Twitter every 5 seconds. I would normally have to charge my battery probably about halfway through the day, just through normal use, and it lasts a lot longer now. I think it's good. It's allowed me to read a little bit more. It's allowed me to be a little bit more focused at home and at work. I do find myself grabbing my phone out of pure habit and I stare at the icons on my phone, realizing I'm not going onto Facebook and Twitter. So why am I staring at my phone blankly? But I needed to deprogram a little bit. It was social media has this very strange effect of, if you spend too much time on it, in my opinion, you kind of can lose touch with the world and lose touch with reality. It can have an emotional impact on you. You don't even realize is going on. And it wasn't that the, you know, I've managed to mute and unfollow most of the people that caused the vast majority of the theological migraines that I dealt with in the last year. So mostly what I look at now are people that I actually want to talk to. But there's a sense of being ill at ease when you spend so much time on there, and you don't really know these people. You know, they are friends. I count them as friends. I count them as brothers in Christ in most cases. But you realize you don't really know them. You just talk to each other maybe 30 seconds, a couple minutes out of the day, and you're not part. It's virtual. It's not real. And I think that has an emotional drain on you after a while. And you just kind of can become disenchanted. And that's what I was dealing with. It was like, you know what? I got to get away from this. There is a world out there that does not exist on the internet. I have a wife and kids. I have a job. I have books that I want to read. Why am I spending so much time doing this? And I don't know how long it'll be. I just said, you know what? I need to take a break. I need to unplug. And it's taking some adjustment. You were joking about, you know, the internet providers, you know, be they Verizon, AT&T, whatever, or, you know, you talk about your home internet, they do have you hooked. And we've become so integrated with it, you don't know how to exist without it sometimes. So it's taking a little bit of an adjustment, but in many other ways, I think it's been helpful. And so I'm going to stay unplugged for a little bit. You know, it doesn't mean I'm never going to come back. I think it's one of those necessary evils. We want to interact with the world out there. We want to get the message of the gospel out there. We want to talk to people who don't know Jesus Christ, and the internet is a vast resource that we can use to do that. But I think every once in a while we just need a perspective check, and so hopefully that'll give me a little bit of one. So thank you for asking, by the way, brother. At least you and I keep in touch because we have Skype. I don't know that anybody's really noticed I'm gone, but then again, I disconnected the notifications on my app. So if you have been trying to check up on me, and I just probably don't know. So, but bear with me. I need some time. I think that's all I'm needing. It's just some time and some perspective. I think that helps.
Well, I'm sure you've not missed, you haven't missed anything, because people are still griping and complaining. Somebody gets offended about something else someone says. You know, somebody shared pictures of babies and puppies, and, you know.
I missed the puppies. Oh, come on. You
missed the puppies. Full disclosure, anyone that actually has Chris's email address, please do not tell him everything that I've tagged him in and been saying about him since he's been on sabbatical.
See, now that's not fair, because now you're going to make me want to go check. That's not fair. That's not fair at all.
Brother, I'm here to help you.
Yeah. Help me into an insane asylum, I think. You know, funny thing about the internet is that it is really helpful, and it really does, you can learn a lot out there, but it's one of those things where, because the internet allows us to connect with everybody, and everybody thinks, well, I read it on so-and-so's Twitter feed or their blog or on this or on. Okay, I don't necessarily like our new president, but when he takes on BuzzFeed in a news conference, I kind of just got to love it a little bit. When you've got these online resources that make us feel like we know everything and we know next to nothing, I think y'all need to step away for a second and go read a book in a library or something. So quit barking at each other. It's not worth it. Good grief.
Although, can you still hear me, brother?
I hear you. I hear you.
I will have to complain about one thing. Pepsi Cola, on your advertisements on Twitter, please cool it with the promotions about Lady Gaga going to perform at the Super Bowl. We could care less. Okay. That's it for today.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, see, you know, that right there guarantees I will not watch the halftime show. I might just leave the whole concept of the Super Bowl behind if she's going to show up. Oy, 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 Lady Gaga.
I muted the Pepsi Twitter account today because I was so sick of looking at their ads scrolling through about Lady Gaga and who's excited about Lady Gaga performing at the Super Bowl. I was like, okay.
Not
of
me.
All entertainers you could pick, it had to be that one. Okay. Right. I'll hush now. On with the show.
Well, you know, it's funny that we're talking about all this, you know, the lack of depth that the internet can sometimes have to offer, especially in light of tonight's program. Hey, and Rich, we're holding steady 10 minutes into the program, and we haven't even started yet. So, we, at least, if nothing, we're consistent. So, no complaints from anybody. We're consistent. Okay. So, but tonight, we actually want to talk about having some depth and having some knowledge. And Rich, what better way to really kind of start digging into the new year than talking about really what is the bread and butter of every Christian's life, and or at least it should be, and that's the study of the Bible. So what do you think, Rich? Should we be doing the is studying the Bible's kind of one of those important things, wouldn't you say?
Well, only if you want to grow in your Christian walk, grow in fellowship with Christ, grow in your sanctification with Christ, and further your walk here on earth and grow to love Him and know Him better. I mean, other than that, it's not important at all.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's funny if you were to hear so many modern-day Christians in America talk, reading the Bible, going to church. Dude, that's just all legalism. I mean, we're just laying a trip on people when we tell them you really need to study the Word of God and all this stuff. I mean, if you were to believe that, boy, I would love to see what the early church fathers would have to say. In fact, I think they did say a lot of things about this, but could you imagine the reaction? I think there would be an entirely new reformation to break away from breakaway Christianity from America evangelicalism, because we have so much emphasis on feelings and self-worth and self-esteem and building a better life and your best life now that you would think that the Bible has absolutely nothing to do with it. In fact, if you listen to people like Andy Stanley and the liberals that he draws his theology from, Christianity has nothing to do with the Bible anyway. It's all about the resurrection, which he wouldn't know about if there wasn't a Bible. But, you know, I digress. So I tell you what, brother, if we're gonna lay that down, if we're going to say that as Christians it is important for us to study the Bible, and it is, then let's start with this. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, brother, I have to say that if the Apostle Paul, who spent a vast majority of time writing the good portion of the New Testament and planting churches all throughout the Middle East and Asia Minor and all these other places, and went before the emperor went before Caesar to preach the gospel, and it was put on house arrest and eventually imprisoned and died. If that's what he has to say to his protege, to Timothy, then I think as Christians, we really should be busy about studying the Word of God. Would you agree?
Absolutely, brother. And not to mention, since the New Testament era, all of the Christians over the hundreds of years that have been put to death just because they wanted to own a copy of the Bible, and because they were transcribing it from Greek into English so everyone could actually read it, and the Church of England outlawed and banned that and put people to death because they were wanting to make the Bible available to the people. I mean, I'm sure our devoted listeners, most all of them, have read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and if you haven't, next to the Bible, that would probably be the one I would recommend reading first. But I mean, yes, the Bibles should be something that's absolutely treasured and valued to us as Christians more so than anything else. Sadly, the Bible is the most widely sold book in the world, and I think in America is probably the least read book of anything that's put out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand where, to a certain extent, why people can feel like, well, if I'm saved by grace and not by law, then how can you mandate to me to read the Word of God? We're not saying that to be saved, you have to read the Word of God. Salvation is a gift of God through Jesus Christ, through repentance and faith in His completed work. And God will change you. The thing is, the evidence of it, we go back to the book of James. James says that true salvation is evidenced by our work. In other words, the outwork, working of the Holy Spirit in our life, the things that we do, evidence what we say we believe. You know, if I say that I believe that a fire is hot, if I stuck my hands in the coals and just left it there, you would say that I don't really believe what I say because I don't think it's hot and I can put my hand in there. And the fact of the matter is I'm going to come back with blistered fingers because the fire doesn't care whether I believe it or not. But if what I say matches up with what I do, then my profession is genuine. And as Christians, if we believe what Paul wrote, that it is breathed out by God, in other words, it is inspired of God. Those who wrote the words supernaturally wrote exactly what God intended for them to write without having their consciences or their abilities marred in any way, or it wasn't some sort of automatic writing or dictation that happened. It was simply God using their abilities, their knowledge, their skills to communicate exactly the very words He wanted communicated. And if it's profitable for all the things that Paul said it was profitable for, then why wouldn't we want to study it? And I think, Rich, the problem lies in a lack of understanding about what the Word of God really is. I mean, we look at it, I think, in America with a sort of, man, it's like a textbook. You know, it's like going back to college or high school and having to study for a test. And, you know, there's just such other interesting things to read, and we fail to really understand what the Word of God is. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And just like anything, reading the Bible is a spiritual endeavor, and it's a spiritual battle, and it's also a battle against your own worldly flesh, because even though we're saved, until we're in the presence of Christ in heaven, that fleshly battle will endure, and reading your Bible is a spiritual battle. And that's one thing you need to be praying about, is for the Lord to bless you with a thirst for His Word, bless you with a desire to know Him better, bless you with a desire to want to grow in fellowship with Him, and to bless you with the strength to overcome that fleshly temptation to not read it and to put it aside and do something else. But if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, well, I'm a Christian and I never read my Bible, well, I want you to kind of put it in perspective like this. Say you struggle and you read your Bible two or three times a week. It's not necessarily it's not a checklist to say, okay, I did that today, I did that today, I did that today. But it's the desire that you have to want to be in the Word of God. And I think that's kind of synonymous with other sins. It's not necessarily that you're winning that battle. It's the desire to want to win the battle and the desire to want Christ to have you overcome that struggle. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Folks, please understand something. You know, if you're one of these folks that believes that, and by the way, we're going to address the idea of struggling because I think we all do this as Christians. But if you're one of these people that thinks, well, I don't really need to read the Bible. I mean, the Bible's got problems. It's got errors. It's got certain things just aren't right, or I don't know if I agree with everything it has to say, then I think you need to take a step back and examine what you really believe about God and what you believe about salvation, because the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is the entirety of the gospel. It is one message. It is the message that God, you know, creating the universe, creating the world, of creating the planet Earth, creating mankind, had one intended plan in mind, and that was always that Jesus would go to the cross, and that salvation would always come to those who would repent and believe. And that's contained in every passage throughout Scripture. And if you're not sure, if you don't believe that, and I recommend, do what I'm doing right now. Spend some time in the Old Testament. I mean, if you've read the New Testament at all, you're going to recognize the themes in the Old Testament over and over again. I'm reading through Isaiah now, and the idea that God will bring judgment upon a rebellious and disobedient people, yet the promise of salvation, it's repeated over and over and over. I've just got through chapter 48 today, and that theme is so present throughout the entire book of Isaiah. You cannot miss it. But if your idea is that, well, it has errors, it has contradictions, well, first off, you need to study it, because I think you're going to find that you have some bad information about that, because you're following under the common misconception of what the Bible is. You know, people say, well, it's wrong because it says that the world was created and we evolved. Well, first off, there's no evidence for evolution that's actually legitimate. Everything that the Bible speaks about when it talks about scientific issues, it's been accurate on, that the world is round, that the Earth revolves around the sun. It talks about weather patterns. It talks about air currents. It talks about all kinds of things that are accurate. Well, it's not historically accurate. Well, you know, that's interesting, because if you spend some time examining the actual evidence that's out there, as some people have done, we find that there's, you know, how we've figured history sometimes isn't always accurate. And that if we would be honest about our assessments of history sometimes, I think we'd find that we're actually accurate. One of the things that's out there is a documentary called Patterns of Evidence that talks about the Exodus from Egypt. There's actual historical information out there in archaeological digs that actually points to that. So there's a lot of stuff out there. The problem is if you don't take the time to study it, then your reliance upon this is on a weak and baseless argument for a simple reason, and that's just because you don't want to read. And I suggested that part of the reason sometimes we don't want to read is we kind of look at it as a textbook, but I think the deeper meaning for this, and Rich, I think you would agree with me on this, the deeper reason for this is that simply the Word of God convicts us. It exposes us for who we are. We kind of like to think we're pretty spanky people. You know, I'm a pretty decent guy. I pay my taxes, raise my family, help my neighbors. I don't murder anybody. I don't sell drugs. I don't lie very often. So, you know, I think I'm an okay person until I sit down and read the Word of God and see how God, one lie was sufficient for a husband and wife to be killed by the Holy Spirit in the early days of the church. So, Rich, I think, you know, the biggest problem is that the most people who simply don't want to read the Word of God are doing so simply because they're afraid of what it's going to say about them. What do you think of that?
I think that's a big part of it, but I think it gets down to even more basic than that. And a lot of people may take exception to what I'm about to state, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's truly what I believe. I think it's more basic than that because I think people are just lazy. I think they'd rather sit down and veg out in front of a television set and have their mind fed with endless, you know, hours of minutiae versus having to actually put forth some effort into something and open up the book and use their brain. And I'm putting it just as plain and simple as I can because it's really truly how I see a lot of people that I talk to. And you and I have been involved in ministry in different forms or fashions over the years, and we've dealt with and talked with a lot of people. And for people that profess to be Christians that have told me they don't read their Bible, they don't have time, they can't do this, they can't do that, basically it's just really comes down to a matter of they're just too lazy to find the time. They're too lazy to make the effort. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way I see it, brother.
No, I agree. And, you know, the thing is I think that's a struggle that we all deal with, especially in our current culture. I mean, there's a great video, and I wish I could remember what nation it was in or which country it was in, that Wretched Radio shared this is a few years back now, and it was people whose reaction of a group of people when Bibles were brought to them in their language. I want to say it was perhaps in one of the countries in Asia or maybe in Africa. I don't remember. But the reaction, these people were weeping. And I think that's because they understood what it was they held in their hand, and that was the very words of God being delivered to them, that for the first time they could study what God had intended for them to learn. And I think there is a huge amount of laziness in the American church, and we're all guilty of it in some form or fashion, because in America we are entertaining ourselves to death. We spend so much time not thinking, so much time, undisciplined time, doing different things, running amok, all the things that have so very little importance in the grand scheme of things, that when I have to make time and I have to put aside the pursuits that are of entertainment or of sports or of exercise or pursuing my career or spending time with my friends, the idea that I have to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, half hour, hour reading the Word of God, it's like, it blows my mind. How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to occupy my time? And it's because we have no proper perspective to understand what we've been given. And I think part of the reason is we have such an overabundance of it. It's just become commonplace. You can go anywhere and find a Bible. So it's on my phone. It's on my tablet. It's on, I have an audio Bible that I plug in that I can listen to, and I never do. Or, you know, I've got six of them aligning my shelf. So, you know, I think we have become so indulgent in this nation that we don't appreciate it because we don't understand what it is. And I don't even think we have bothered to think about what it took to get the Word of God into our own language. I mean, people were put to the stake for that. So if you're not studying the Word of God with regularity, I think it's because, number one, as you said, Rich, I think it's laziness. Number two, it's probably... has a lot to do with, you don't want the Word of God convicting you of what you think about God Himself and thinking about yourself. And number three, it's just a lack of perspective. I don't think you have any understanding. If you're someone who just does not want to make the time, I think there's a unwillingness to really learn. And I don't think you want to be taught if you're not going to commit the time. Is that, do you think that would be a good assessment, brother?
Absolutely, brother. I agree with everything that you said, and you know, like you pointed out, part of the problem in at least for Christians in America is that, you know, we're spoiled. We've gotten so used to having the Bible available, you know, at any given moment at our fingertips, we tend to take it for granted that, you know, that it's always going to be there and be legal for us to read. I mean, there's so many countries in this world that the Bible is illegal. You know, you could be put to death for just owning a copy. And you were talking about that video through Wretched, and I somewhat remember that. And after you said that, it's been racking my brain trying to recall which country it was. But I know it was one of those to where, you know, people live in huts and have mm-hmm. candles for light, and you know, there are several of them in one hut around a candle trying to read one page from a Bible that they have to pass, you know, around the village so no one gets caught with it. You know, if you go to Voice of the Martyrs and read some of the stories from some of the persecution around the world, I mean, it should rip your heart out and should make you really, really value and appreciate the blessing of both living in this country and the blessing that the Bible is, because the Bible is next to Jesus Christ, the Bible is the greatest blessing that God has ever gave to the earth, in my opinion. What do you think?
Amen. Amen. All right. So we all right to maybe just put a final nail in the coffin on that issue. Please understand, we're not trying to lay down a law. We want to expose that a lack of desire to study the Word of God is indicative of something serious. And Rich, you referenced it as being sinful when you said it's, you know, like any other sin. You know, I think it was something you said. And a lack of desire or an effort to excuse your lack of desire to read the Word of God, I believe, is sinful, because God has given it to you. I mean, you go back to the book of Isaiah, the where I was reading. We talk about line upon line, precept upon precept. That comes from the book of Isaiah. And what's very interesting about that is Isaiah, in writing that, was essentially referencing the so-called apostles of his day who were mocking him for saying that. They were saying, they were basically going, oh, right, line upon line, precept upon precept. I mean, and so we study it that way because that's how we learn the Word of God in its entirety. But the false teachers of Isaiah's day were mocking him for that. And so God intends for us to learn line upon line, precept upon precept. And if you don't, if you feel that, well, I don't think we need to do that, then you're falling into the same category of attitude that the people who mocked Isaiah were doing. So please understand, we're not trying to lay down a law and say you must read X number of chapters per day and you must be this level of biblical knowledge to be a Christian. We're not saying that. What we are saying is, as Rich pointed out, you need to be someone who desires to read the Word of God, to grow in its knowledge. Why? Because as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tell us, it is inspired of God for our benefit, for our correction, for our reproof, so we can grow and do the work that God has given us to do, so we may be complete and equipped for every good work. That's why we want to do that. Now, Rich, you and I talked about the different things that we've done, and you know, we're always kind of comparing notes off and on about how we study the Word of God. And what I'd like to do in the, you know, the kind of the half hour that we got left is talk about some various methods or techniques that we have done or that we know about that can help, you know, spark that desire or give someone a reading plan, so to speak, not saying that it has to be anything concrete, but to give them something that you build in that routine, that you make it part of your daily walk. As much as getting up and showering and eating breakfast for work and getting ready for work, you are making the study of the Word of God part of that daily routine. And we don't want it to become something that becomes old hat and just habitual, because we want you to commit yourself to it and to study and to grow. But we also want it to be something that becomes part of what we do as a Christian in our day-to-day, making that priority and committing to that. But at the same time, recognizing that every one of us has a certain amount of disposable time, a certain amount of study time available to us. And some people are going to have really long, rough days where maybe you couldn't do what you would normally do. So we're not telling you the things that Rich we're going to share with them. I don't want to make it, hey, you have to do it our way to really be a Christian or a good student. But I'd like to give our listeners some ideas. What do you think? Should we? You think we can accomplish that with the time we have left?
Oh yes, absolutely. And before we even get started, I'm going to share something with our listeners. I'm going to share with you the absolute best Bible reading plan there ever has been thought of. The absolute best Bible reading plan is the one that works for you.
Amen.
So I mean, and we'll share some resources that have different reading plans laid out. And you know, if you haven't found a reading plan that works for you, or a variation between different plans that works for you, you know, keep at it. Don't give up. Keep fighting through and find something that works for you, that works for you and your family, that works for your schedule. Or, you know, like Chris was saying, that, you know, with jobs and children and everything else, there's ways around all of it. But the absolute best writing, the absolute best Bible reading plan is the one that you will stick to and the one that will benefit you and the one that you will grow from. So with that being said, let's get at it, and I'll just throw it back to you, brother. What reading plan are you currently using?
I'm using, well, right now what's working for me and what's keeping me in the Word of God is I finally settled on just reading consistently. You know, I think right now it's like 3 chapters a day. And that's mostly because I've been going through the Old Testament, and some of the Old Testament chapters can be really long. So, you know, depending on what book of the Bible I'm reading, you know, I finally just settled on the fact that I'm going to stay in the Word of God. I'm going to read it, and I want to read it to learn it. And so let me preface by saying, before you sit down to read and or you commit any plan, please pray. This is God's Word. This is not a textbook. This isn't a book of fiction. This is not something that we read so we can pass a test at the end of the semester, or read because we want to kind of just be taken away into a world of entertainment for a time, and so we can kind of gloss and speed and read our way through. This is the Word of God, and we need to start with that acknowledgement before the Word, or before the Lord, that we are committing time to studying His Word. We ask for His Holy Spirit to reveal to us. We're not going to learn, you know. We're not going to get suddenly new revelations that nobody's ever thought of. Look, if it's true, it's not likely new. Or excuse me. Yeah, if it's true, it's not likely new. And if it's new, it's probably not true. Okay. And I think I butchered that. But the point is that we can ask God to reveal to us things that we have not yet understood from the Word of God. But you're not going to get something that hasn't been discovered in the last 2,000 years and come up with some totally new reading of Scripture. If you have, you're probably walking into Heresyville, and I'd really recommend maybe go back and reread the context. So, start with that. But, you know, pray, commit your heart and your mind and your soul to the Lord. Thank Him for the Word. Help, ask Him that His Holy Spirit would enlighten you, would open your eyes and open your heart and mind to the Word, so that you are learning exactly what He intends for you to learn. And it, when you read the Bible, let's just say that you're one of these people that you make it a commitment to read the Bible once a year, Genesis to Revelation, from January to December, you make it a commitment to do that. Fantastic. Don't think that once you've read something that you can't go back and learn again. Even my pastor at one point, I remember during a sermon he had said, I used to think it said this, but as I began to study it and I realized that the context was this, my knowledge changed on it. And it wasn't some massive change in theology. It just was suddenly clearer to him because he had learned something that he'd not seen before. And that's because that's what God and His Holy Spirit do. So for me right now, what I'm doing, Rich, is I'm taking that time to I'm committing myself 3 chapters every day. And I have never been a big student of the Old Testament. I think like a lot of Christians, I've parked most of my time in the New Testament. And I realize there's so much that I don't know about the Old Testament, so many things I haven't learned. And truthfully, and I think I've said this before, I've always kind of avoided the books of the prophets, mostly because I was one of those people like, how do you understand the difference between near and far fulfillment? And how do you know this applied to that? Well, you know, if you've read the New Testament enough, believe me, you're going to see where they referenced those passages. You know, when you're talking about the Gospels, when he says, and thus it was fulfilled from the prophet who said blank. And you go back and you read those prophets and you realize, oh, that's how we know. There are tools in the Scriptures themselves that reveal to us how to understand as we commit to studying the Word of God, what certain things mean. And then there are just some really wise and godly people that have committed time to making good study materials out there that we can use. And so, for me right now, that's what I'm doing. I'm committing myself 3 chapters minimum per day, and just steadily reading through things and going, Lord, I don't get that, help me understand it, and then go into the materials that I have when time permits to check the notes and see if I'm understanding that right. What about you? What are you doing right now?
Well, first, I'd like to remind the listeners that regardless of what reading plan you go with, even if it's a Bible in the Year or whatever, but just try to remember that it's not the quantity that you read in a year, it's the quality that you read in a year. I mean, I could sit down and rush through reading a chapter a day or 12 chapters a day or whatever. I've done this before, and I'm speaking from experience. I can rush through it and read it and knock it out, but yet I don't retain, I'm not learning and growing from it. So there's really a difference between reading through the Bible in a year and actually being in the Bible for a year, if that makes sense. And I'm just speaking from my own experience. I've tried several different reading plans over the years. One that I started out with pretty soon after I was truly saved was probably the Horton reading plan, and I still like it. It's just that, you know, like you were talking about, or we may have been discussing and get it in pre-show, you know, that one's got it laid out to where you're supposed to read 10 chapters a day. Well, if there was a day that I missed reading or a day that I didn't read but five, the next day I just felt pressured to try to read all,
yeah,
to get caught back up to where I should be. And that one didn't really work out for me just because of, you know, I have some really odd days and nights in my little world. And you looked it up at the beginning of the show when we were in pre-show. What's the name of the Bible that's actually made to read in a year?
Oh, I know that I think there's a lot of Bible in a year Bibles that you can find. The one I think you and I were referencing in the pre-show was Grace to You, John MacArthur's ministry, has a MacArthur Daily Bible that you can pick up. And it has, you know, kind of a set number of chapters that you're going to read on a daily basis. And it actually even has notes to help you kind of understand that. So, I mean, if that was something that a person was looking for, certainly would recommend, if you're looking for a daily Bible, something to help regiment you, so that you're committing that time. And you're, 'cause I think a lot of us would be like, okay, I want to read the Bible in the year, but how on earth do I do this? How many chapters do I read? Well, that's a good resource for doing that. In fact, you can even get a Kindle edition. I'm looking at the Amazon page right now. You can get a Kindle edition of the New King James Version. It looks like for $3 on Amazon. So, I mean, it, you know, the certainly a great tool if you're one of those people that is committed to reading the Bible in a year. But Rich, like you, I think I have the same problem doing it that way. There have been days where I've gotten up and, you know, a lot of times what will happen is I'll go to work and I'll have my Bible with me and in early part of the day, things are just getting started, I'll open it up and I'll read my read. But there's been days I've gone to work and it's like, okay, I can't get it right away, so I'm going to do it at lunch. Well, I end up working through lunch because we had some sort of crises develop. And by the time I get home, I'm so thoroughly exhausted because we had such a long day. All I want to do is eat dinner and go to bed. So the Bible in a year program for me is difficult because if you do run into one of those scenarios, it, like you said, Rich, I think it can really put you in a bind and make you feel like you failed. And I think there's a lot of people who have started that at the beginning of a year, have done it for weeks or months, and then something like that happens and they get behind and they end up quitting. And I certainly wouldn't want to put that as a burden on someone. But I agree, it's a good way to do it. And if you're going to use a tool to do it, this would be a good one to use.
Well, I don't remember. I think it was the ESV version. My wife and I both have one of the Bible in the years that's laid out in the format. Okay, like this day one you read this, and day two you read this. And I've tried that a couple of times over the years, and just like you said, I'd get frustrated because I get behind and try to feel rushed trying to get caught up. But just for my own self, what's kind of developed over the last probably 3 years is I took actually what you were telling me about that you were doing at one point, where you go through the same book of the Bible every day for a month. Well, I started with that, and I think John MacArthur, it's a version of one of his reading plans. I started with that last year, and I went through something like 11 different books of the New Testament. I'd take a different book each month, and I would read it or listen to that book every day. And then, you know, at the next month, I'd start over. Well, it kind of developed from that into what I'm doing now, is to where I take one book of the Bible, and I go through it every day. I either will read it or listen to it on my audio Bible, just depending on my circumstances for that particular day. But I'll read it or listen to it on the audio Bible, and I'll take it verse by verse, and until I finish all the commentaries by generally either J. Vernon McGee or John MacArthur, until I finish all the commentaries on that particular book of the Bible, I don't move past that book until I finish it in the commentaries. And it's rather developed to where, okay, I don't even set a goal for the number of verses in a given day that I go through. I just go through what I can. And sometimes, you know, it may be there's been days where it's as little as two or three verses, but there's been days like today to where, depending on what was going on, I went through an entire chapter. And starting out this year, I started out with the Song of Solomon. And I know that may sound like a strange Old Testament book to start out with, but I wanted to study something that I had never studied before, that really you don't hear a lot about, but there's so much depth and beauty in that book, talking about the beauty of Christ and the way that he loves the church and he loves his people. It's just has brought out a joy and a new appreciation for how much Christ truly loves his redeemed children. But that's just kind of what's worked out and, you know, has developed that seems to work for me. And I'll add this real quick and hand it back to you. But for anyone that's, even if you've been reading your Bible, you know, daily for a few years and you've never really studied it, I'd like to share one resource that could help you learn how to read and study your Bible. And it's by John MacArthur. And I think the title of it is How to Study Your Bible. It's just a little small paperback book, but it really, really teaches you about putting the text into context and understanding the who, what, when, where, and now of a passage. And another great one is that's put out by Wretched Radio is Herman Who. And that's another really good one to go through and will help expand and help you understand about how to actually study your Bible. Have you gone through one or both of those?
Yeah, I have gotten the Herman Who, and it's a really great resource. I have not read the other one. I'll have to add that to my reading list. But there are some really great resources that will help you to study your Bible. Just, you know what, even getting a really good study Bible, and just because something says study Bible, don't assume it's a really good study Bible. You know, like the Patriot Study Bible or the, you know, the Women of Faith Study Bible. Some of those, they're really not great resources, but there are some there are some good ones out there. We've kind of beat John MacArthur's drum a little bit here, and if you don't realize it, we kind of like him, but he's got a great resource, the MacArthur Study Bible. You can get all kinds of good, really solid good notes out of there. I've heard a lot of good things about the Reformation Study Bible. I think I've even been told the ESV Study Bible is a good resource. So there are some good study Bibles out there, and not only do they give you lots of good solid notes about the passages you're reading, but a lot of times they'll have a great introduction to the book itself. You know, and you can also get something like I have MacArthur's Bible Study Handbook. It is a big, thick book that has a full introduction talking about the history, the author, the theology, the outline of every single book of the Bible. So those are fantastic resources that can help you. And then if you're looking for even more expanded understanding, Rich, you were just talking about, there's some great commentaries out there. And depending on what you're looking for, there's a wide range of commentaries. I mean, there are some seriously deep scholarly ones that I probably don't even have a fraction of the brain power to understand that I need. And there are some really good ones that are great for the layperson. And Rich, you and I both have read both MacArthur and J. Vernon McGee commentaries. And those are great layperson commentaries to just help you through that. You know, to just help you grasp the understanding of it. Sometimes just getting something like a Bible app that will help you do comparisons between Bible versions. Maybe you've got a King James, that's what you were brought up on. And so, you know, and if you're a King James onlyist, I'm really not getting into a debate with you right now, but maybe you were somebody who was brought up on the King James. And so you have that hard time with that old English, and you go to, an expanded version of the Bible that has four versions side by side, and you can read that, or you get a Bible app that helps you do that. Those are fantastic resources too, because you can now read things in comparative to an older English. And I will say this about things like the KJV, New King James, NASB. There is something about the older English that just carries an authority and a weight with it that I study out of ESV, and I miss it. I read ESV because it works for my comic book brain, okay? I'm not as smart as most people think I am, and if you really think I'm smart, you probably need to check your IQ. But the ESV works for me because it is written in modern English, and it's something that I speak and understand more easily. But NASB, New King James, that older, more formal English, it conveys an authority and a weight that just is missing with the ESV. So, you know, if you want something that has a little more behind it, I would recommend one of those. But use that to help you break up, the tunnel vision we can sometimes get when we're dependent on a certain translation. I wouldn't go to things like the most recent NIV, the more liberal translations like the Living Bible and stuff like that. I would throw, if you have a copy of like the Message or the Voice, I'd throw it in the garbage. I wouldn't even line my parakeet's cage with that, but because they're not even translations, they're barely even paraphrases. But the point is that you can use lots of these resources. Rich, you talked about at the beginning Grant Horner's Bible reading system. This is one of those that if you don't know how the Bible interconnects, you're one of those people that think it's just a collection of mumbo, just a mishmash collection. Grant Horner's system is fantastic. He gives you 10 lists, and basically you're reading one chapter from each list every day, and if you do it according to his setup, you're going to read 10 chapters. And so, like, list one is the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. List two is the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. List three and list four break up the New Testament epistles. List five, you got Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Six and seven are the Proverbs. List eight are the books of history from Joshua to Esther. List nine is the prophets of Isaiah to Malachi. List 10 is the book of Acts. And the way it is that basically if you follow his system, you're reading one chapter out of each list per day. So, you know, you might, if you start today, you're reading Matthew chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. And so you're reading all through all those. And what that actually does is it expands your understanding of the interconnectedness of the Bible. You're not just devoting time only to one book or one section of Scripture. You're forced to read the entirety of Scripture. And unlike, say, a yearly year Bible plan, if you miss today because, you know, oh my goodness, your child was deathly sick and you had to take them to the hospital, and you know, and you're just sitting by your child all day long because he had the real bad flu or pneumonia and you didn't read, you can pick up the lists again tomorrow. That's a fantastic way to do it. I could not do the 10 chapters. So at one point I did something like this. I think four or five chapters out of the day. It was one book of the Old Testament, one Psalms, one New Testament, something like that. It was like four or five chapters, and it worked really well for me, and it really did expand my perspective of what the entirety of the Scriptures contain and how interconnected they are. Certainly would highly recommend that, or maybe even a modified version of that. But it's great because if you do run into those days where you aren't consistent, you can still pick it up tomorrow and keep going. So, Rich, we've got about 5 minutes left in this. What final thoughts should we bring into to our listeners about making some kind of commitment, some kind of plan to studying the scriptures daily?
Well, I think you summed it up really well, is to start with prayer, and any spiritual endeavor should always begin with prayer, and reading and studying your Bible is definitely a spiritual endeavor, and we need to always start in prayer and ask the Lord to help us, and try different reading plans until you find a way or a system that works for you. And just because on paper, just like you were explaining with the Horton reading plan, just because it's laid out like that on paper, if you find that you're struggling with 10 chapters, cull it back to 5 chapters a day, but just be make it a point to be in it, to be in the Bible every day. But my advice is to, whether you're wanting to read 10 chapters a day or 2 chapters a day, read it for quality, not for quantity. Don't just pick it up and read it and say, okay, I actually read my Bible today, and check it off a checklist. If you're not putting what you can into it, you're not going to reap the benefits that you could be getting out of it, because reading and studying the Bible not only grows us in our fellowship with Christ, it actually washes your soul. And it renews you, it refreshes you. And for me, one of the greatest joys I get is when I read the Bible and the Lord teaches me something new, something I never knew before, or enlightens or enhances my understanding of a particular passage. I just get the greatest amount of joy out of that, knowing that the Lord loves me enough to teach me His own word.
Amen.
What do you think, brother?
Amen. Well, I think if there was something I would want to leave you all with, is that you find, as Rich, you said, what works for you. You're going to see a lot of people suggesting a lot of different things, and you're going to see smart people, really smart people, suggesting their thing. Don't feel that you have to commit your time and energy into a form of study if it's not helping you learn, if it's not helping you grow. Look, I know people who highlight the living daylights out of their Bible and note that thing up until there's no room left, and then they go get another Bible and they start all over again. And that works great for them. Here's my problem. Not only am I a very auditory person, so if there was noise like in the hallway right now, you would hear me stop talking because I would want to know what it is. And that affects me when I read. But I'm also a very visual person. And if I mark up my Bible, I start losing track of what I'm reading. So for me, taking notes, I might be more inclined to do that on a Bible app. A friend of mine was very kind to supply the monetary cost into getting me Logos, which is a Bible study program primarily geared, I think, for pastors and teachers. But I now have that. You can actually get a Logos app, and I think you can get the ESV for free, for example, or you can get something like Olive Tree, which has some things like the ESV and other translations that are free, others that you have to pay for. So I will use something like that, and I'll highlight and note in that, because I can go back and delete and get rid of stuff. But if I'm reading from my Bible, I have to have a clean page. Otherwise, I'm very distracted and I go all ADD and want to chase the squirrel. So, and Rich, oh yeah, eSword. eSword is also a very good program. It's primarily a desktop-based program that you can download for free. There are some components to it that you have to pay for, but it's also a good Bible program as well. I think they have an iOS version, but I think you have to pay for the app for that. But there are so many resources that you can use that will help you. And what I'm doing lately, and I know 3 chapters doesn't sound like a lot, and it probably isn't, but it's what I'm committing to, and I'm finding, look, I don't read any other book. I don't engage in any entertainment, like I play in my Xbox or something, until I've read that. And if I've committed to those three chapters, then I'm still studying every day. And one, you know, as I grow and I get more comfortable, I'm going to get back into reading more. But like I said, I'm also working through the Old Testament, so some of that's a little bit different than reading an epistle or reading like Galatians or Ephesians or something like that. So, you know, that's what's working for me. And so I use all these different resources. I may have my Bible with me today, and that's the preferred measure for me to read out of, because there's something about reading from that I'm absorbing it more. It's just the medium. It just works for me. But if I don't have it with me, look, I've got a Kindle, usually within arm's reach anywhere I'm at. I've got a tablet or a phone. And I know if I'm reading three chapters a day, and yesterday I ended in chapter 45 of Isaiah, and I'm committing to three chapters, then I need to read chapters 46, 47, 48. And so it doesn't matter what resource I have at my hand's reach, I can grab one of those and read. And so one of the benefits of living in a culture like we are, where we are completely flooded with these resources, is that there's no excuse. I have a Bible within reach anywhere I go. And so use them. Use a method that works, that's going to keep you in the Word of God. But whatever you do, don't be like me and be quick to just zip through something, because I've done that. And if I zip through it to get it done, I stare and I blink and I go, what did I just read? I have no clue. So don't just do it to fit it in there. Get that quality time with the Word of God, because you are hearing from God. If you've ever said, Lord, speak to me, He's basically handing you 66 books and said, here. Everything you need to know that I've ever said to you is here. And He's done that because He loves you. I mean, He's committed His gospel message in 66 books for you as His child to read, to study, to grow, and love Him more. So if there's anything that I hope Rich and I can commit to you tonight, is as a if you claim to be a or someone who is a child of God, who has been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then pray now that God would give you a strong heart and a willing desire to study His Word, that you would, you know, want that, not just feel like you have to do it because, well, these two guys, knuckleheads on a Christian podcast program, said to do it, but do it because you desire to do it, because you love the Lord and you want to know Him and you want to grow in His Word. That's what I hope, Rich, you and I can convey to them tonight. This is God's Word, and it is everything we need for life and godliness is contained in those 66 books. And I want to encourage everybody that listens to this to take the time, starting now. You don't have to be a Bible in a year person, but you better be a Bible every day person, because that's God's Word. And if you did miss it because something happened, then it should be, there should be this hunger and desire to not let tomorrow go by without reading it. That's what I hope we've conveyed tonight. Rich, any closing thoughts?
Well, I agree with everything you said, brother, and I can't think of anything to add to what you've already said, other than changing gears for a moment. I do want to thank our good friend and our brother in Christ, Elijah Hankins, because he has helped us develop and come out with a brand new logo for Voice of Reason Radio. And I don't know if you've had a chance to get online this week and check it out, but it is absolutely amazing. And if anyone's looking for any type of graphic work, I couldn't encourage and recommend our brother Elijah Hankins anymore. You can find him on Facebook, and his Facebook page is My Graphics Geek, and his name is Elijah Hankins. Or if you want to call and talk to him, his phone number is area code 208-819-5241. Give him a call and see what he can do to help you with your media advertising and graphics need, because he does some outstanding work. And hopefully our listeners will be able to be seeing some more designs that he's working on for us, and some new logos and page banners that he's coming up with for us, give him a call. Also, to remind our listeners to comment on one of our feeds, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, the Podbean page, or comment on the website at slavetotheking.com. Comment and let us know that you heard this announcement. We're going to give away a New King James Version waterproof Bible the first show of February. So if you'd like to be considered in that giveaway, just comment and let us know that you heard the announcement. Other than that, brother, I can't think of anything else I'd like to add this week. You got any closing words?
I really do want to thank Elijah. I did see the logo. Thank you, Elijah. You've always done great work. He designed the original logo for Cross Encounters Radio, as I recall, and it was always fantastic work that he's done. The intro music that you hear every week comes from Elijah. Our outgoing music, that's a good friend of ours, Mr. Inanimu from the Twitter fame, has provided that for us. So we're always grateful for the work of our brethren. And Elijah is a great friend, a wonderfully talented brother, and certainly recommend his business if you're looking for something like that. Folks, we thank you for being with us every week. As we say, we're grateful for the time that you've given us. We really hope that this week's show has encouraged you. Hopefully it's challenged you a little bit to think about how you commit your time every day, and that the Word of God is something that in fact should, really must be a part of that, because it is God equipping you through His Word. And if we neglect that, then what we're going to be feeding more of is our flesh. We need to be partaking of those means that God gives us: prayer, worship, study, the fellowship of the saints, the Lord's Supper, baptism, all of these things that God gives us that help us grow and come together. We should, really must be partaking of it. And you simply can't live according to how God would have you live if you don't study His Word, because you can't know. You know, people like to say deeds, not creeds. Well, how do you know whether a deed is pleasing to God Himself if you haven't spent time in His creeds? In His case, the Word of God. You cannot have right orthopraxy, the practice, without right orthodoxy. That's the Word of God. So please, please, whatever you do, if you've taken anything away from it this week, take away a commitment and a desire to study the Word of God, and find a means and a mechanism that works for you, but be busy about being in the Word of God. And understand that we love you, we want to encourage you, and we hope that we've done that this week. Thank you. We look forward to spending time with you again next week. God bless you all. We'll see you. Have a good night.